You missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Hey, Gugu. Hi, Shem. Guys, the whole 18 minutes you've been talking and enlightening us, I just want to say thank you. Like, thank you to you. Really. One does not know most of those things, but listening to your show, one is really enlightened. Yeah, God bless you. You're really doing a good job. Maletsema Springs.
Thank you so much, Maletsema. That's such a heartwarming voice note to hear. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. And the more you learn, the more we all get to know and understand about the world of business and just how it interlinks with everything else in our lives. Yeah, that then the better for all of us, right? So I'm happy to hear that at least the show that we put together with our producers, Sinenjabulo Sibeko, and of course, our technical producer, Mudibedi, is helping to change the world. One little step at a time. But if you want to be like Maletsema and share your thoughts, 063-688-0959 is where you can share your voice notes to. Our next conversation is definitely one that, again, like Maletsema has mentioned, will leave us having a better understanding of how the world works. Since the beginning of the year, I've been highlighting how politics and economics have a very intricate relationship. The both have a symbiotic relationship as well that does feed and influence the outcomes of the other. And essentially, that's where we find ourselves as South Africa. This coming Wednesday, the president will be inaugurated. Of course, a full cabinet still needs to be selected. And the individuals from the various parties through this government of national unity will play an influence on how the policies they follow through with will influence the economics of the day. So, someone who is always great at helping us understand these dynamics, not just from a South African point of view, but even from a global level, especially on the back of the fact that countries like Mexico and India just wrapped up their elections and find themselves in a similar situation to South Africa. Dr. Martin Davies, emerging market expert, joins us now on the show to help us understand the investor certainty that still needs to be created on the back of a government of national unity. Always a pleasure to speak to you, Dr. Davies.
Good to speak to you too. How are you doing?
Keeping well, thank you. And a happy Youth Day. I know you're still a youth. Just with your
we definitely qualify.
You definitely do. Martin, as I'm sitting here, I actually asked our producer, Njabulo, you know, which part of the world is Martin in? Is he still in Saudi Arabia or jet setting? Because it's part of your travels that actually helps us also have a better understanding of the world, especially when it comes to politics and economics. So maybe if you can give us a refresh on that and the interesting insights we've seen in terms of the shakeup of democracies in key emerging markets.
Yeah, Gugu. So just to, on a personal level, I now live in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia to be specific, the most reformist economy you're ever going to come across. Structural reform is what we do with the fastest growing G20 economy now and forecast growth going forward. So clearly we're doing the right things. I find myself in London today, having just arrived from France. So the jet setting continues.
I hear there's some strikes influencing Macron and he's run up to the elections. India has been a market we've been watching as Modi's also lost some key positions there. And Mexico with the shakeup in their dynamics there too. And all of this is important, I guess, that we understand that South Africa, much like its global peers, is really facing a significant change and maybe, to put it correctly, a new dawn, quite literally, in terms of politics.
It is certainly, as you allude to, this year has certainly been a year of real and pending political change in both developed and developing countries. And I think also from an emerging world perspective, the gloss has come off China's growth and the emerging market story is no longer solely a China story, hence the growing capital interest in the likes of India, as you allude to. I think the challenges we find in South Africa and Africa specifically, I'm not entirely sure why, but post-COVID, people were talking about deglobalization. And I was saying in early 2020, I think the real risk is not so much deglobalization as capital marginalization. And I think that's certainly been the case. I've always said, Gugu, and I think you remember me saying this, that countries actually have a choice of whether to grow or not. If they don't, and that's a political choice. And I'm afraid South Africa in very recent years has made political choices through very poor policy to not grow. And as I say, the emerging market story is always a governance story. So now going forward, we have a coalition government, you know, going back in time almost to a 1994 type setup. But DA certainly has more, should we say, sensible economic policies. And the challenge is now saying, well, it's not so much an opportunity, but rather an imperative that South Africa needs to get its growth house in order and start to embark upon a dramatic reform agenda, one that has been lacking despite all the crises in recent years. It's still the government has been, the previous government has been incredibly lethargic or unwilling to drive the necessity of reform to drive growth in the domestic economy. So fingers crossed, things start to move forward.
But what will it take, though, as you say? A lot of this really does sit on policies, and that becomes a lot more intricate when it is a government of national unity with multiple political parties influencing the policy structure of the economy, right?
Undoubtedly. How long do we have for this conversation?
We can make it an hour.
Oh, that's for starters. But I think the first thing to say is that, look, we always talk about inclusive growth and the inequality levels in South Africa are just sort of politically, economically, morally unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And that is due to bad policy and bad implementation. Simple as that. I think also is that we talk about inequality. What we're seeing because marginalization sort of concept I mentioned, is that we're not just seeing inequality within our country. We're going to see inequality between Africa, South Africa particularly, and the rest of the world, effectively, if this is not turned around very, very quickly. I think the majority of electorates still don't quite understand economics and how their vote impacts the economic future. I'm hoping this starts to become more apparent going forward. But I think, you know, the three sort of broad brush things I would say going forward is that, firstly, you know, the country does face fiscal challenges, despite the great work that Treasury and Ministry of Finance has done, despite the poor governance in recent times. Yeah. So firstly is start direct capital, and particularly unlocking private capital into areas where we can start. You know, we always talk about infrastructure, but it's just lip service to it. We're not seeing capital spend into alleviating supply side constraints. Think rail and port infrastructure in particular. Yeah. We still seem to have this ideal. South Africa still seems to have this ideology of wanting to retain state ownership, which if you haven't realized by now that state ownership is a bad idea, well, I'm afraid, you know, you'd be living in a different country than South Africa. I think the second issue is, again, exactly that, is to drive privatization, enhance competition. Competition drives growth. The policies we've seen in recent decades, even before that, have been very anti-competitive. We need to see private capital, well, the breakup of very moribund state-owned enterprises, and allow competition to drive growth in the country. And this is for free. I mean, this reform is free. It doesn't cost anything. You know, you're not looking to use fiscal policy here to drive growth and spend one's way. That's often the mentality. It means to spend to grow. No, this is about a reform agenda of privatization, which, to be honest, is free. I mean, it doesn't cost anything. I think the third thing is, and aligned to that, is really just sort of, you know, downsizing these costly cash-sucking parasites called state-owned enterprises. And this is what structural reform is all about. Those are three sort of economic headlines. But I think, you know, the obvious things, crime, simply unacceptable. We need to, you know, you have to have a society that respects the law. And that requires some dramatic action. The cost of crime in South Africa is something which is dramatic. Something we haven't had a conversation about, I think it's, is South Africa beyond, if your assets are, if your revenue is not in dollars or hard currency, South Africa has increasingly become uninvestable, purely because of inevitability of a decline in currency. Now, maybe it'll change going forward with hopefully more sensible economic policies in place. But we need to have some real creative thinking as to how to arrest decline of the rand, because investing in a declining currency environment where your revenues in local currency effectively makes you uninvestable. So it's issues like this which talk to the structural reform imperative. Hence the need for long conversation, Google, rather than just our usual 5 minutes.
Very true. And you're touching on a point that often gets me very excited, because This goes back to an aspect you mentioned a few moments ago, economic impact of our vote. And that's been, I guess, a departure point for many South Africans, where they clearly either agree or disagree or are just misaligned in their level of understanding. As you speak about the currency, many have been saying that much of our attention regarding the political outcomes has been to please and appease the market versus the will of the people, many of whom have really voted on the basics of politics of the stomach. Take care of my services, keep me healthy, transport needs to work, and can I get a job? And it almost seems as though South Africa has been caught in this mix between ensuring that the necessary foreign direct investment makes its way into the country to provide the jobs and the security that its people needs. And yet we keep missing each other, sometimes even through political conversations, as to how we find a perfect balance of both. And I'm intrigued to get your thoughts on this one here, Martin.
Give capital confidence, not through hollow rhetoric, but through substantive action. Mm-hmm. That's what I think what needs to happen from a political perspective. From an individual voter's perspective, vote for politicians and parties that actually deliver, rather than just promise stuff that never arrives. It's very obvious. And I think, you know, often in South Africans especially tend to vote on emotion rather than sort of pragmatic self-interest. Measure it in terms of your delivery of public goods and services. Dare I not mention Eskom? You know, basically every SOE has imploded in the last two decades. And, you know, wake up call, this is your money. This is taxpayers' money. Mm. So if you're willing to subsidize loss-making enterprises at the same time as opposed to delivering you goods and services, and you think that's a good economic model, then I'm afraid economics 101 is something which you desperately require. So for me, I think it's, you know, going forward, I think it's, again, is the electorate really needs to become a lot more economically literate and understand how, as you say, this nexus between politics and economics actually work. Effectively, you're going to be voting yourself into poverty if this sort of trend continues. Hence the necessity that this coalition government is able to implement sensible policy. Mm-hmm. And yes, we can have inclusive growth and all those nice things. That's fantastic. But let's give capital confidence. The government has destroyed capital stock in the country. Significant amounts of the most important asset of all human capital has been sidelined or even left the country. These are conversations which hardly even get raised almost at a political level. In most countries, it would be a national crisis. This is a kind of wake-up call that South Africans and South African body politic require. Going forward, we hope to see, is that a sense of, you know, I repeat again for the third time, give capital confidence, lose the crazy rhetoric, and create functioning, delivering, efficient, well-motivated public sector institutions. You know, when one is outside South Africa in all these countries we speak about, only then you realize how Africans are. The service sector in particular, fantastic service, highly mature sectors in our economy, which most emerging markets, you know, have no concept of, will take decades to build. Mm. And yet we don't seem to be able to leverage it, and build upon it. And really drive growth where it should be, growing economy. That's inclusive. That's providing employment, providing decent wages, and generating, you know, good human capital and embedded human capital into companies, organizations, state institutions. It's a leadership issue ultimately. Yeah. Parts of our economy have it. Many parts, particularly public sector, doesn't have it. And I'm hoping that's what the new coalition can bring: leadership, positive morale, and ability finally to implement sensible policy, not just hollow rhetoric going forward.
100%. Martin, you and I can have this conversation for hours on end. I truly appreciate the details you've shared with us, and looking forward to touching base with you soon when we perhaps do an emerging market comparison of the outcomes, the election outcomes of this year.
Thank you, Google. You take care. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Dr. Martin Davies, emerging market expert there, giving us his thoughts as to how best it is that our new coalition government, the government of the day, and of course the inauguration of the president going forward, how it is that we can instill trust and certainty for capital. And he really has shared some insight with us that does help us consider the better understanding that fundamentally we have strong institutions in South Africa. Look at our financial services institutions, even the judiciary, though its strength at some point might have been compromised. But fundamentally, we have things that work, literally. That work well. We just need to make sure that the right leadership is appointed into these positions. We have an increased level of opening up competition to ensure that there's a vitality, excitement, vigor within which these institutions can operate. And of course, then growth will come out of that. These businesses who do invest in South Africa do also need to ensure that there is a social and shift that they contribute to. Jobs. Employment. When our human capital is taken care of, the skills is developed, sustainability in creating jobs, entrepreneurship can also be spurred. It just multiplies into opportunities we can expand on in our economy. Yep. But share your thoughts. If you are young at heart, or young, we welcome you to share your thoughts with us on the show tonight. Everything that we're discussing in the first hour is focused on Youth Day, our special Youth Day broadcast here of Kaya Biz. Everything from economic activity, your frustrations if you happen to be an unemployed youth. Maybe you're an entrepreneur who is looking for new opportunities to expand into. Or maybe you're just a youth who wants to understand, why does all of this matter? What impact does it have on your life? Well, this is where we're here to answer your questions, to hear your thoughts, and of course, to even probe those who have a more or better or different perspective to what we have to give us the engagement. Share your voice notes on 063-688-0959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.